I'm Diane Orson with WNPR News. The State Department of Health has just released 2013 data on health risk behaviors in Connecticut's high school age youth. WNPR brings you two stories focusing on one particularly troubling condition described in the report, self-injury. In part one, we heard about how one Connecticut school district is trying to cope with a substantial rise in the number of high school students who are cutting themselves. Now, a story of a Connecticut man's journey through mental illness and self-injury to recovery. And this note, some listeners may find this story disturbing. David Fitzpatrick grew up in Guilford, graduated from Skidmore College, and during his late teens and early 20s began a slow descent into severe mental illness. During the worst times, he would cut himself with razor blades.
For me, it was just a growing depression and shame and self-rage and loathing. I got so overwhelmed, I felt like, well, I can't tell anyone about this because it's so bizarre.
Self-injury is defined as intentionally inflicting harm to one's body. When doctors worked with him to try and stop hurting himself, Fitzpatrick told them he didn't want to give it up.
You want to hold on to it because it's a great way to cope. Obviously, it's not a great way to cope, but that's what I felt. I felt like, this releases tension better than anything.
Not everyone who does this suffers from the kind of mental illness Fitzpatrick was battling. According to the Cornell Research Program on Self-Injury and Recovery, one of every four people who self-injure does it only once in their lives. 6 to 8% report chronic self-injury. But for Fitzpatrick, and for most people who do cut, the intention is not suicide.
It was about releasing the tension. It was helpful. And in that sense, it was helpful, even though it doesn't make sense.
He describes an adrenaline rush, a kind of euphoric, stoned feeling he'd get from self-harm. And he says he became hooked on it.
Self-injurious behavior, it's not about life and death for most people.
Amy Fitzpatrick is David's wife.
It's a coping mechanism. It's a way to deal with stress. It is one of the least healthy ways to deal with stress.
For more than 15 years, David Fitzpatrick journeyed through emergency rooms, inpatient hospitalizations, shock treatments, medication, and therapy.
And then suddenly, I had a doctor who kind of pierced the rage and inertia and all of that. And just like, almost like stoking a fire, got the embers going and saw that somewhere inside myself, there was a worthwhile something that could be activated, and he kind of brought the fire out.
He also began to write with unsparing honesty about his harrowing life story. The memoir, called Sharp, has been described as a disturbing, dark, and affecting book. Ultimately, it's a story of healing and recovery. Now David and his wife, Amy, speak openly with groups about their lives.
On our first date, I asked him about his scars, and he told me the truth, and that was the start of our atypical fairy tale.
Amy talks about her role as caregiver and tackles the subject of stigma.
Bringing it out into the open, making it part of the conversation, actually can relieve some of that pressure, can relieve that hidden desire and the realization that I'm not the only person who has this kind of stress and wants to take it out on myself.
The 2013 Connecticut School Health Survey found that about 2 out of every 10 female high school students in the state had purposely hurt themselves without wanting to die at least once in the past year. The same was true for 1 in 10 male students. Risk for self-injury among teens was greatest in 9th, 10th, and 11th grades. Amy Fitzpatrick says if you suspect someone you know may be self-injuring, it's important to get help immediately. But she says try not to be angry or judgmental.
Try not to be forceful. And of course, everyone is different and every situation is unique. But one of the best things to do is to stand still and say, when you're ready to talk, I'm right here.
And she says it's important to share stories of recovery from cutting, self-injury, and mental illness. Because though it may be a lifelong journey, David and Amy Fitzpatrick say they want people to know healing happens. Diane Orson, WNPR News.